to Romans chapter 1. I'll be preaching from verses 2 through 7, but we'll read verses 1 through 7. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who, as to his human nature, was a descendant of David, and who, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you indeed do provide grace and peace to us, all who would call on your name and receive your Son as our Lord and Savior. Lord, we thank you for your words here. We pray you would send your Holy Spirit to illuminate these scriptures for us, to give each one of us understanding. Lord, to show us that part which each of us needed today. Lord, we know that it's different for each of us. Some of us may overlap, but Father, your word is new and fresh each and every day and each and every time we read it. Help us to see what it is you have for us here this day. Might we not think of it as tired, but might we think of it as new and vibrant. Lord, I pray for myself as I come to preach this morning, that your anointing would be upon me and that I would speak your words in truth and in power. I pray that your people would be encouraged and that nothing that is not of you or your will would fall from my lips. But Lord, if it should, I do pray you would stop up the ears of the people so they wouldn't hear it. Remove it from their minds as if it was never spoken. But Lord, might your truth be lodged permanently within their minds and hearts and be lived out every day in their hands. Father, let your name be the one lifted up and glorified this day. For it is indeed in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, that we pray. Amen. Well, I was just listening and worshiping with the music this morning, and you know, front rows are excellent. I don't know why you all sit back there. But this is really where the Lord was taking me. The lyrics to the songs, every one of them, built one upon another of where we're going. As we look at this, Jesus Christ our Lord, we see that Paul identified himself first as a servant of Jesus Christ. We looked at that last week. How his identity, first and foremost, is that of a servant of Christ. Christ Jesus. Now, that's an interesting thing. Many of us seem to think like Christ is Jesus' last name. It's not. It's his title. It's his office. Christ, Messiah, the Anointed One. The one who comes to bring salvation. The one hoped for and waited for and prophesied about in the Scriptures. The one who's come to bring the kingdom. That is the Messiah, the Hebrew form of Christ, which is, I believe, the Aramaic form. Remember, my Greek and Hebrew is really, really bad. So. But here it is. Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. And we also see that the names meant a lot. Right now, most people, they get a name nowadays, and, you know, Bruce, I've looked it up, I don't remember what it means. But something with a shrubbery or something, I don't know. But names were important, and they had meaning. And Jesus is actually the Aramaic or Greek version, I'm not exactly sure there, of Joshua. And Joshua literally means the Lord saves. So as we look at this, we see Jesus Christ, our Lord, we see the Lord saves His anointed one, our Lord. Well, now we've got Lord in there twice. The Lord saves our Lord. And as we go through, we see that this is the title of Jesus is referred to as the Lord post-resurrection. Pre-resurrection, as Jesus was walking the earth with the apostles, the disciples at that time, they thought of Him and spoke to Him as teacher, rabbi. But after the resurrection, they realized beyond a shadow of a doubt that He was indeed the Lord. Now, how many of you have heard of these terms? Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Jireh. Any of you ever heard those phrases? Some of you might even know what they mean, or a couple of them. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. The Lord. The original word there, which has been translated Lord, is Yahweh. Also Yeshua. They're the same name. We see the divinity of God, the divinity of Jesus, in His place here, and how it's revealed through the Scriptures and through that power of the Holy Spirit moving through the resurrection. And who, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God. Now we need to remember the place of everything. In hierarchical terms in Jewish theology. Mike, if I could have my slide. First, there's God. Okay. Then after God, we have a hierarchy. Mike, next. We have this barrier, God. And beyond, underneath that, first and foremost, directly underneath God, no space, the angels. The lower, we have men, and underneath men, we have plants, animals, and the rest of creation. Now here, we have declared with power to be the Son of God. Where does the Son of God fall in this hierarchy? Next slide. Above the line. Now, the only thing above the line is God. That's a given in Jewish theology. But yet, the Son of God must be higher than the angels. And there's no place between them. That was why the chief priests and Pharisees were so upset with Jesus when he said that he was indeed the Son of God. He was declaring his divinity in a way that they understood. See, the Son of God is God, is Jesus, is the Holy Spirit. They're all one. I didn't try to diagram that. We can shut the slide. But you just needed to see that there is no place, there's no room. And when this was laid out, the Son of God, to call Jesus the Son of God is to call Him God in their theology and how they viewed the way things are built up. So we have Jesus, Yeshua, the Lord saves. We have Christ, Messiah, the Anointed One to salvation. Now He's also called the Lord, which we've seen is God, who is the owner and creator of all, the power to accept. He's the one who has power to exercise control. He is the one with the power. Now we had human lords, lords of the matter in the Middle Ages and whatnot. We had people who had authority, and it was patterned after God's office, where the Lord of the land was responsible for the people. It was His job to see that they were fed, that they were protected, that they had everything that they needed, that they were housed. Now in return, they were supposed to work for Him and work His lands. But in return, He was also to protect them. If there was a raider, if there was a famine, if whatever, it was His job to protect them, to provide for them. And this is the relationship that our Lord has with us when we invoke. We don't have this in American society, which is why I try to lay this out a little bit. We use the word Lord, but we don't understand the connotations that we're saying, God, if You are my Lord, that means I am Your property. If You are my Lord, it is my task to work for You. If You are my Lord, You are my protector. And I don't need to worry. That is the name that we have put on Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ. When you put those all together, when you realize what it is you are saying when you say that phrase, the Lord, my owner, my protector, my God. Jesus, the Lord saves. Christ, the Anointed One, the One who has come. He is indeed the object of the good news. He is the one who is the object of the gospel. Gospel just means good news. And the good news is that salvation is there, is available for everybody who would receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. There's that if. Now as we come down through the text, we see starting with I'm going to read verse 5 through 7. It says, through Him and for His name's sake, we receive grace. Okay? Now again, I'm just defining terms as we're starting out with Romans. You need to be thinking certain things when I say these words. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense is one of the best acrostics I've ever run across for describing the word grace. But grace is undeserved favor. It's God's favor. Grace is just God's favor at Christ's expense. Mercy is undeserved favor. No. Mercy is withholding of judgment. I was right the first time. Should never leave my notes. Grace is God's favor at Christ's expense that's given to us. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. But He gave it to us anyways. And Jesus is the one that paid for it. We receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles. Now, apostleship. An interesting thing I found as I was reading and studying this week, and this was a new one for me. I don't know how many of you know this one, but the root word for apostle in Latin, or Latin, apostle is missionary. Apostle means one sent with a message, a particular message. And that's what our missionaries are. They are sent with a message. But he's saying he was the missionary to call people from among all the Gentiles. Gentile? If you're not Jewish, you'll be a Gentile. It's us and everybody else. That was the descriptive. Gentile, nations, every other people group other than the Jews. To call from among the Gentiles. That was his specific call. To obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Now I'll deal with faith another week. We don't have time for that. But I wanted to get here to this verse in verse 7. It says, to all in Rome who are loved. Now, in the NIV says loved. The King James and a lot of other translations have the correct word here, which should be beloved. It's not a common English word that's used a lot anymore. But insert beloved there. It says, to all in Rome who are beloved by God and called to be saints. Now, the reason why I want to put beloved in there is to differentiate. First off, God does indeed love all sinners. He says so in His Word. There's a difference between those who are loved and those who are beloved. Donna is my beloved wife. And ain't none of you other gals going to get that beloved out of me. Okay? And she's not allowed to call anybody else beloved husband. Those are the rules. Now, I may be your beloved pastor, and you may be my beloved congregation. We can do that. It refers to a special bond that has a special intimacy and relationship. Beloved. If I say, you are my beloved to Donna, she melts. I tell you what, she says to me, I do. And they're saying, to all in Rome who are beloved by God and called to be saints. See, God loves those who haven't received Jesus as Lord and Savior yet. Remember, love is, we got to get that hot button, Mike. Love is selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. We're going to get a hot button so we can flash it up every time I hit that one. But beloved is more. Beloved talks about that personal intimacy of closeness and relationship. I can love somebody without having any closeness with them. Look at the definition. Selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. I cannot like you and still love you. It's not easy, but I can do it. But beloved? No. That's close. That's special. It's family. See, when we enter into our relationship with Jesus, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We become children of God. We enter into the very household of God. We are family. And we are beloved. Called to be saints. Saints, those are people who've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's those who have been made holy, set apart for God. Well, that's exactly what happens when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's you, it's me, it's each and every one of us who's accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. The persecuted church, they are the saints. But so are you. And you are all beloved of God. And grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, people, now let's put some of these definitions together that I had for Jesus. The Lord saves the anointed one to salvation, owner and creator of all, loves you, and has received you as their child. If you were feeling unloved, look to the gospel story. The good news is you are loved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you are the dispenser of grace, the appointer of apostleship, that you are the one who came as a child to live, to die, to rise again, and provide for us that sinless sacrifice so that we could each one have grace and peace. Or that we could have peace, that is well-being, restoration of our broken relationship with you, reconciliation with you, God, that we could know salvation in its fullest extent. That's what peace is. And grace. Or that we could know the riches of your kingdom. That we could know forgiveness from our sins. And that we could know intimacy in our relationship with you. Lord, these are the gifts you have for us. The riches of your kingdom. And it's for us, it's from you, from the Father, from the Holy Spirit, and from the Son. It is through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom you have shown your love, and that we have become your beloved. Help us to walk in that love, Lord. To revel in it, to share it with those around us. In Jesus' name. Amen.